This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar, we're taking you inside the game like never before. This fly-on-the-wall audio experience puts you inside the car with our team of experts as they travel to all 64 matches at the FIFA World Cup. The final whistle has blown in the game between Japan and Spain. You are now entering the minds of some of the world's finest football brains.
Good evening, everyone. Listen, I don't know about everyone else, but I'm shattered. My name's Mark Roberts, and with us tonight as we leave the Khalifa International Stadium here in Qatar is Sundi Alise, Alberto Zaccheroni, Pascal Zouba-Boula, and FIFA's Chris Loxton and Harry Lowe with immediate post-game insights from the first ever competitive fixture between Japan and Spain. On a night when all four nations could progress, and on a night when at different stages all four were going through, eventually it was Japan and Spain who progressed from Group E. Listen, guys, I've changed the script about 50 times already, so let's just jump straight in. Alberto, you observed Japan for us tonight, and what were your thoughts?
Well, it was a result that we did not expect, and it was a game that had two opponents that had two different levels. Well, not much ball was flying aerially or left and right, because both teams loved deliberate ball possession. Well, the Japanese had a more humble approach to the game, got into the pitch and tried to respect the Spanish. Well, they went on a 5-3-2 and back, and when they went forward, they went on 3-4-1-2.
Nel rispetto, come ho detto prima, della Spagna, hanno fatto un'azione.
Well, they played on a very low block, and the distance between the point striker and the central defender was not so much, so it was a very tight, neat defense.
Ma hanno mantenuto le distanze e soprattutto hanno tenuto due linee, la prima, la seconda e la terza, molto molto vicine. Non sono riusciti a fare il
Well, they couldn't succeed in making so many counter attacks, but the few times they were able to go into a counter attack, they did it with very few players.
Non avendo prestanza fisica.
Well, they couldn't use the physical attributes much, but so they tried to just play with the team spirit, team game.
Sono stati bravissimi soprattutto.
They were very good at keeping the ball on the ground and playing it quite quick, making quick passes between themselves.
Il Giappone ha mostrato compattezza.
Japanese showed compactness, discipline, courage.
Il gol è stato preso.
Well, they had to play this kind of a game because physically they couldn't do otherwise.
Hanno fatto un cross.
The goal they conceded was just out of cross, and physically that's where they were handicapped and they lost that.
No, thank you, Alberto. Great insight as always. And Sunday tonight we needed calculators, accountants, mathematicians. I guess take us through that performance from Spain.
Well, this time I think we needed chartered accountants because, well, personally, from what I saw from the Spanish team, they came with what we're used to, which is the 4-3-3 system. But it was the animation that was different this time. Instead of playing a false number nine, they came up with a normal number nine in Morata, who had height. Obviously, it was clear they were trying to use his height for crosses. They did the normal style, but the variations, they gave some variations to it, unlike what they were used to, whereby the fullbacks had to like interchange with the wingers. Wingers coming in and the fullbacks diving up to attack. Or the two offensive midfielders, which were Gavi and Pedri, they were always coming out of the block to try and get the ball from the side to play. And they couldn't play much because the opposition was very, very tight. Having said all that, one, I could not help but have a feeling as if in the game of soccer, God forgive me if I'm wrong, but the opposition has to be respected. And I feel that they felt from the beginning that it was a game they had won, even before the game started. And the attitude that we saw as regards, from what I saw from this game, was that it looked as if that they felt that they could win the game because they even in their own penalty area, they still continue to take risks by passing short passes with the goalkeeper. And that's what caused them the first goal that they conceded. And the second goal also was just total class, I think. So fortunately for them, they've gone through.
No, definitely. And Sunday, we were chatting during the game. I guess every type of scenario we've spoken about over the last few nights actually came out, even in a 45-minute period. And as a player, again, just trying to manage those two or three different scenarios must be very, very challenging, I guess, as well.
I think today was easier for the Japanese to handle than for the Spanish, because the Spanish won your favourites, and you need a draw and you're through. You need a win and you top the group. So you're having the positive aspect of it, whereas the Japanese, they knew that they lost, they were taking the flight tomorrow back home. So the Japanese, they had just one thing to do: win, yeah. Make a result. So, and they had a game plan for it, and it looked as if they executed it to perfection, and they had the players for it. And what I really respected from this game was that they played based on their own qualities. With all due respect, I don't want people to now take us as if we're trying to criticize the Spanish. God's will, no. But in this instance, there were players from the Spanish team that we were used to seeing as regulars, but did not start the game. And I thought they were injured or something, only to see them come in when the Spanish team was losing. So it's kind of like respect to the Japanese.
Oh, definitely, no. Thank you for that. And Zubi, obviously two different roles for the goalkeepers tonight. Your thoughts on their involvement?
Yeah, as Sunday mentioned before, when Spain conceded their goals, it's a little bit typical. Spain is a team who played out of the back. Yeah, they play short out many times. Unai Simon is a goalkeeper who is very good with his feet, but today two, three times from the stand you think, hey, why you are not playing now this ball once long? Yeah, okay. And like this happens, the first goal for Japan, and the shot from Doan then outside the box, it looks for me not a wonderful strike. Unai Simon was with both strong hands behind the ball, but he was not able anymore to bring the ball around the corner. And I'm sure if he looks himself this goal again in the TV, he knows that he could do it better, a goalkeeper in his class. Okay. On the second goal from Japanese, also there, it was difficult for the goalkeeper because no one was expecting that Mitoma brings this ball again in. The ball was almost out, and he brings the ball in, and like this you conceded the two goals. And then on the other side, Gonda, I have to say, on the first goal you have no chance. This was a beautiful plate, the cross straight close from around the box, and Morata completely alone with a great header, pushing down on the floor, and this is anyway difficult for a goalkeeper to make then any save. But on the end, I have to say, he was on the 90th minute, he made some good two interventions. One shot from outside the box from Asensio, a deeper. But I have also to say, when he deflected the ball for the rebound, the defense from Japan was there. They wanted this victory, as Alberto Zaccheroni mentioned. They were very disciplined, and they were fighting on the end on every rebound. And for this, they needed him also. And also, Olmo had a big chance on the end also to score. And there was also Gonda again, and he could block the ball. It was an intensive game, of course. And yeah, it's a big success for Japan to going through.
And Harry, what a crazy night. Can the data help make any sense of it at all?
Oh, Mark, I don't know. Other than the scoreline, I don't know if I can find a stat that will surprise you from what I have in front of me. This is a typical Spain performance from the data that we're seeing from the Spanish at the moment, and a reflection of how the game went. On our possession control metric in the first half, Spain had 79% possession, Japan were 14, and in contest was 6. Japan were averaging 1 minute to recover the ball. So, yeah, this is definitely something we'll look into, but I think that's got to be a new record for the tournament so far. Again, the emphasis on the use of wide areas. So, for Spain, out of 78 final third entries in the game, we had 30 down the left in the widest channel and 22 down the right. So again, a reflection of how, when you touched on, Alberto, with Japan in the low block and being compact outside the edge of their own penalty area, and in the mid block as well, really trying to reduce Spain to entries in the central area of the pitch, and breaking them down and getting to goal via the central channels.
And I think also it just shows the use of the five defenders. We didn't see it in 2018. You know, Belgium switched between three and four. Japan in this first three matches have switched between four and five. But tonight they started with a five, they kept with the five. It's obviously showing in the data that it's forced Spain very wide. The lines were unbelievably tight. There was no space between the midfield and the defensive line. And the data is obviously supporting that, just showing how much Spain were forced wide and having to use those wide areas. And they defended the box very, very well when crosses came in. So, look, it's not just Japan using the five. It's something we need to look into more. But, you know, definitely having those tight lines in front of the back five as well was a tactic that supported them very well and obviously supported this result as well.
Thank you, Harry. Thank you, Chris. And as you said, a growing trend. Alberto?
Well,
I think he believes that the Japanese played a lot low blocks and that kind of like resulted in them picking up so many yellow cards, so they couldn't do more.
I guess just final question again to yourself, Sunday, if that's okay. As we start to look forward, we've observed and analysed almost every team, excluding the final games tomorrow, three times now. Japan, who we observed tonight, will be up against Croatia, who we also observed earlier. How do you think, I guess, those two sides will just match from a tactical perspective?
I think this is a game that I would really love to watch because it's going to be two different styles of playing, but at the same time, two teams that are combative. So how they're going to break each other is what I'm very curious to see about that one.
Thank you to everyone. As we head back to the hotel to prepare for the final group games tomorrow, don't forget you can get outstanding post-match summary reports for all 64 FIFA World Cup matches only on the FIFA Training Centre. From myself, Sunday, Zubi, Alberto, Chris and Harry, we're off light for a lie down. So good night and we'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Centre. For more information and insight throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcentre.com.